be more like him. So we have a powerful message this morning, and it's one of the most important messages I think that I could ever preach. And what it is called, Do You Know What Your Secret Weapon Is? If you want a title, Do You Know What Your Secret Weapon Is? Now, I was in the military for 22 years, and my MOS, or my job, military occupation skill, was communication, electronic maintenance. And so I was assigned to the general staff. That meant, you know, for the general staff. And what I had to do is I had a van that had equipment in it, and the sole purpose of that equipment was to encrypt voice communications. So when the generals want to come in, or the general staff want to come in and send a message over the airways, Bible says that the devil is the prince of the power of the air. So he controls the airways, okay? But guess what? So anything that you say in English, if it's not encrypted, it can be transmitted, right? It can be transmitted and it can be intercepted. And then they can listen to what you say. The enemy can listen to what you say. So in warfare, you don't want the enemy knowing your trade secrets. You don't want them to know when you're going to strike or when you're going to go, when you're going to come and go. So with any communication that you get, you know, to the headquarters staff, and they're separated by miles away, you wanted it to be encrypted. So my machine that I had in my van, it would take that voice and then it would encrypt it and then it would send it over to airways. And they didn't know what it was. It just sounded like a bunch of static or gobbledygook. They couldn't make any heads or tails of it. So that was encrypted. Well, guess what? God has given us the secret weapon as well. Amen. How many realize that the Bible says that Slewfoot is the enemy of our soul? He's the accuser of the brethren, right? The devil hates us, right? He hates us. He hated us even when we were serving him. He was a hard taskmaster. But then when we came to the Lord, he even hated us more. Now, he can't do anything with God, so what he does, he tries to mess with God's people. Well, guess what? Sometime David said this. He said, I put a guard over my mouth. Why did he say he put a guard over his mouth? That he might not sin against God. Now, guess what? The enemy is not omnipresent like our Father God is. Amen? He's omniscient. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere. Amen? And so he knows all things. He knows the beginning from the end. God does. But the devil's not like that. And his demons and his, you know, the principalities of the air, and they don't know everything. But when we open our mouth and we tell them, guess what? We spill all the beans through. We spill all the beans through. So God has given us a powerful weapon. And that weapon is that we can speak encrypted language to God. It's a powerful weapon. Guess what? The enemy knows it's powerful. And that's why he doesn't want us to know that that's available. He'll say that that weapon died with the apostles, didn't he? It died with the first century church, right? So guess what? If this weapon was not important, why would Jesus, you know, Jesus, he deputized 70 to go out and lay hands on the sick and cast out devils and everything. Now, this is before Jesus was even glorified. They would go out and they would lay hands on the sick and the people recovered. If they had an evil spirit, the evil spirit would have to leave. It was a sickness, that the sickness had to leave. So God gave Jesus, the Father, deputized Jesus, you know, as his word incarnate. And so what he did, he sent he looked out and he saw that the laborers were few. So he said, pray that the Lord of harvest will send out laborers. So what he did, he knew he couldn't do it by himself and just his 12, him and his 12 disciples. So he deputized 70 other. And they had the same results that the apostles did. So what happened to the apostles of the Lamb? So what they did, he came back rejoicing, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject to us. He said, don't be glad that the devils are subject to you. But he said, be glad that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So he told them this. John the Baptist said, there's one. He said, I baptize you with water. But there's one that's greater than I. He'll baptize with the Holy Ghost and with fire. So guess what? Jesus told those guys that walked with him 3.5 years, they did miracles, signs, and wonders. He told them, look, you need to go to Jerusalem. You know, he said, you need to, until you're being endued with power. And on that day of Pentecost, it was 120 there, and they obeyed the Lord. And they were in unity. They were one accord. They were seeking God. And they said the Holy Ghost came upon them like tongues of cloven fire. And as they opened their mouth and spoke, they spoke in a heavenly language. So, and the reason we know they spoke, because they say we see them speaking language that they don't even know. And then, in fact, they were drunk. They were drunk. Drunk in the Holy Ghost. And then guess what? They say, and Peter stood up and preached to them a short sermon. And he said, guess what? They're not. He didn't say they weren't drunk. He said, they're not drunk as you suppose. They're drunk and full of the Holy Ghost and with power. Amen? So how many of us, you know what? I want to be filled with the power of God. You know how you get filled with the power of God? You got to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And when you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, then you get your heavenly language. You get your heavenly language. And guess what? A lot of times, I don't even know what I need to say or how I need to pray. But the Bible says the Holy Spirit that lives on the inside of us, He knows how the perfect will of God. And when we yell our tongue in our private prayer language and pray in the Spirit, guess what? The perfect will is prayed for us concerning that situation of somebody else. And it's encrypted. Did you know it's encrypted? The Bible says when you pray in an unknown tongue, we pray mysteries unto God. The devil can't intercept it. He doesn't know what we're saying. And that's why the devil fights against it. You know how powerful it is. And you know what? Baptism of the Holy Spirit is the entrance to the other gifts of the Spirit, the nine gifts of the Spirit. It's the entrance to the door. The more you pray in tongues, the more power you have. And so what happened is, first of all, by a show of hands, how many have their prayer language? How many pray in tongues? And that's a private prayer language. Now, I'm not talking about the prayer. I'm not talking about interpretation, tongues and interpretation where you're in a church service where you know, you have to wait until an interpreter comes and then, otherwise the church isn't edified. But I'm talking about in your private prayer language and you get in your closet with Jesus and you have and the Father and the Holy Spirit and have communion with them. You pray. And that's your private right. Every believer has a right to that. But guess what? A lot of times they don't have it because it's not taught. It's ministry failure. They don't know it's available. So all you got, now when you pray in tongues, who does the speaking? Does God take your vocal cords and slap you upside the head? No. You open your mouth, and then you pray. You pray in a language that you don't know. So I'm going to ask everybody, except for you with the baby, we'll just stand up right now, and we're going to demonstrate just how easy it is. Remember Jesus said, if we be evil, know how to give good gift to our kids, how much more would the Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? So you don't have to worry about you getting a wrong spirit or anything, because God's protected this thing. He's not going to let you get a wrong spirit. So what happened? He said, if our children, we being evil. Now, those of us that are parents, have your children ever asked you for a fish and you got them one and got them a snake? Okay. If they ever asked for bread, did you go get them a rock or stone? No. You gave them what they needed. So if we, Bible says, if we being evil know how to give good things to our children, how much more will God give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? So you got to know that it's asked. It's available. On the day of Pentecost, in that upper room, when it was 120, the Holy Spirit began His earthly ministry. Jesus said it this way. He says, it's expedient that I go away. And remember John 14, 15 to 16, He said, boys, it's expedient that I go away, because if I don't go away, the Holy Spirit won't come. But the Holy Spirit here, He's in His earthly ministry. And guess what? We are the tabernacle of God. We didn't have to come here to go to church. We are the church. The church was in us. We just do in obedience to what God said, as much as you see that day approaching, assemble yourself together. And we build each other and edify each other up. We are the church. Wherever we show up, we are the church. We are the church of God. Amen? So guess what? You know where the Spirit of God lives on the inside of us? He lives right down there in the belly. And in fact, in John 7 and 38, Jesus said this. He said, if you hunger and thirst, I'll give you a drink that you'll never be thirsty again. That was verse 37. 38 says this. But he said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. So what was he talking about? He was talking about the Holy Ghost. He was talking about the Holy Ghost, that power, that weapon that we all have. And guess what? The same thing that Joel said, Joel 2 and 20. He said, this is that. This is that. This is that. What was proper about Peter said, by the prophet Joel, he said, in the last year, I'll be giving refreshing. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Jesus said it, amen? So that's where the power. How many want to say, I want the power of God operating in my life? Praise God. I want the power of God operating in my life. And guess what? Speaking in your prayer language is the key to miracles operating in your life. Now, you're going to give a testimony in a short minute. I'm going to give you a minute to give a testimony about you prayed for your sister last Sunday, and then you can tell what God did. So guess what? It's not because I'm the pastor, but when you listen to testimony, you can see what God did through them. He'll do it through every believer, every believer. But we got to know, who we are. So right now we're going to go ahead, we're just going to open our mouth, and we're going to pray in our prayer language. You got to open your mouth. You open your mouth, and God's going to fill it. God's going to fill it. He's going to fill it not with a natural language, but with a prayer language. He'll give you syllables, and then the more you speak it, you'll be fluent with it. But your prayer language is a gift from God. And all you got to do is ask it. It's available. So we're going to pray in a prayer language. Now you have to open up your mouth. You have to open up your mouth and speak. And then you'll be speaking. You'll be speaking utterance. And it won't be out of your mind or your natural mind, but it'll be words that you don't even know. And that's speaking mysteries unto God. And the Bible also says that it's good that we pray. Apostle Paul say, I pray in tongues more than you all. But he say, pray that you might get the interpretation as well. So this is what I want you to do. Go ahead and pray it in your prayer language. And then just get quiet before the Lord. And then just in a minute, just say an English word, what comes out, and then you'll be getting the interpretation of what you're praying in your prayer language. Now, let's get quiet, and now just give it a minute. Just be quiet. Just stop it right now. Because, see, this is something that we can control. This is our private prayer language. And now I want you to just say to yourself in English the interpretation of what you just prayed in tongues. Something will come to you, and just pray it in English. But the Bible says, pray that we might receive the interpretation. God wouldn't have told us that we could do it if it wasn't available, right? Okay, so, and then see, that's how you get led by the Spirit. That's how you get led by the Spirit. How many realize that, okay, everybody can sit down. Everybody can sit down now. Now, how many of us realize that when we pray in our prayer language, we don't have to be good. We don't have to fast. We don't have to pray. It's good that it's one requirement to receive my prayer language, that we're born again. We're born again. We have to have the Spirit of God living on the inside. And then we have to open our mouth, and God will give us a prayer language. He'll give us a prayer language. And the enemy fights us against it because he does not want us to know that we have a prayer language. Because he wants to know everything that we talk about. And if we pray, all we do is pray in English, then guess what? We're not using the weapon. The Bible says the weapon of our warfare are mighty. They're not carnal, but they're mighty through God and the pulling down the strongholds and everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Now, a lot of times, how many of you been go in the workplace or go somewhere in the movie theater or go somewhere and you see people blaspheming God and talking all kind of foolishness and stuff? Sometimes when we're out in the world, it's a lot of contaminants. So sometimes when we pray out a prayer language, it'll make us realize that the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in our mortal body, and it'll let us know that we can be God conscious. We 24/7 we can be God conscious. Sometimes I'm at work, I pray under my breath. I pray under my breath, but I'm praying in tongues. I'm praying when I work inventory on my job. I'm praying in tongues. I'm praying under my breath. I'm praying in tongues, and nobody knows I'm doing it. I don't jump on top of my desk and start whatever creation. No. I'm not going to be doing nothing that's seeming, but I'm praying and then God will give me interpretation and tell me what I need to do in that situation. So it's available for every believer, but it's not taught. It's not taught in a lot of churches. They think that the gifts of the Spirit died with the apostles. Well, guess what? Is there a devil still on planet Earth right now? Do we need the power of God? Praise God. So the power of God starts with us walking in praying in tongues. I'm gonna give you another script. I'm gonna give you another scripture to go with it. Let's go to Romans 8:28. A lot of times people use this scripture to say, all things work together for good those that love God and call according to His purposes, and that's good. But that scripture is not all talking about. Really, it's talking about that we don't even know how to pray as we ought to. But the Spirit of God on the inside, it knows to pray the perfect will for God. You know, it's concerning our life. So it's a powerful language. So a lot of, you know what? The mysteries of God are revealed to us in the Spirit. See, we don't contact God by our intellect or by our emotions or anything like that. God is the Spirit. The Bible says that those that worship must worship in spirit and truth. So guess what? Bible says the spirit of man is the counsel of the Lord. And the way God talks to us, the Holy Spirit talks to us, is through our spirit, man. Through our spirit, man, deep down and inside of us. Have you ever had a decision, make a decision, and you look in the Bible, and it's not specific about which way to go, to the left or to the right or whatever. But you go to Colossians, the third chapter, and it'll tell you that the Holy Spirit is your umpire. It's like an umpire. It gives you a green light. If you got it, and what you do, you get in the Word, you seek the Scripture concerning what you're doing, and then you just wait before the Lord, and your spirit, God will speak to your spirit. Sometimes it can be an audible voice; it can sound so real, it's almost like it sounds like audible, but really, it's your spirit. It's, you know, when you're born again, you can trust your conscience. That's what the Spirit of God is. That's the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you, because it's been washed by the water of the Word. So when you seek the Word concerning it, and then you'll get your answer. Should I go to the left? Should I go to the right? Say for instance, before I got married with Cecilia, Lord, should I marry Cecilia or should I marry someone else? I sought the Lord, and make a long story short, I had a green light in my spirit. And I said, okay, then she's the one for me. But see, a lot of times we want a mate or something like that. We want this, we want that. And then lust is revealed in lack of preparation. So sometimes you got to seek the will of God for yourself. He has an individual will for every one of us. And then it'll be like a green light will come on, and we'll know that, okay, this is the way I should go. You know, because you'll never find in the Bible, should I move to Jacksonville or Texas? You know, you'll never find, but you'll be able to check it by the Spirit, you know, by your spirit. So that and that's powerful to have insider knowledge like that. You know, most of the decisions that we make that are wrong, because we didn't contact the Lord. We just hasten. We did it by our emotions. But it feels good. She looks so fine, like a Coca-Cola bottle. But, you know, young people might not know what I'm talking about—a Coca-Cola bottle. But us older saints, we know what a Coca-Cola bottle was. I mean, it was like, ooh, you know, like Miss America or somebody shaped like that. The old Coca-Cola bottle was strong in the glass. Yeah, she got to be the one. Look at her. My goodness, you know. Now, that's eye candy. But does she love God like you love God? Amen. Does he love God like you love God? He might look like all of that, but guess what? Guess what? The muscle's going to sag. That hair going to get thin and he going to get bald. Will you love him 20, 30 years from now when he's ugly? Amen. He might look like he got it going on. So you need to seek the Lord. Amen. Seek the Lord on your mate. Praise God. Don't go by eye candy. Don't go by emotions. The emotions will mess you up. Praise God. Seek the will of the Lord. So it's a powerful weapon. The enemy fights against it. You know why the enemy fights against it? Because he doesn't want us to be endued with the power of God. Now, one of the keys to operating in the power of God is being baptized in the Holy Spirit. You're a candidate to everything that God has. And Josh, I want you to give a testimony about what happened to your sister last Sunday.
Yeah, my sister said she had a pain on the left side of her body. And Dad wanted us to get up and pray for us, but you know, he had me pray for her instead. You know, we just had Ma touch her where she was hurting, and I touched on Ma and I spoke and I said, you know, sickness leave her body, in the name of Jesus. And I told her to go, and she said the pain went down to about a 6. Then we prayed for her again, and the pain was totally gone.
I can confirm that. There was no pain, and most importantly, there wasn't that tightness. You know, I felt like my left leg from the ankle up to the hip, like it's filled with water, really, really tight, and you know, I'd walk around school like this. But I haven't felt that since, and I haven't felt the back pain at all or the shoulder pains or anything. I feel great. So praise the Lord.
And see, I told her, I said, look, it's not doing it because I'm the pastor. Because I'm going to tell you something. God, Jesus showed up in church. Now, I thought that I was teaching about healing and praying for the sick and things like that, because I believe that every believer should do that, because that's what the Bible says. And Jesus said, the Great Commission. A lot of times we don't know to do that because we haven't been taught by that. We think the bishop needs to do it, the apostle needs to do it, the evangelist needs to do it. But every believer, I don't care. That baby, when he gets old enough to talk and realize, you know, can accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, guess what? He have the same power that we've been in the Lord for many years to do, and he can pray for the sick and they'll be healed. So all it takes is somebody just be born in Christ, baptized in Christ, and baptized in the Holy Spirit. And so I was at a service, and I was going to say we're going to have a short service. And then we were going to go out and pray for the sick and see God healed. Because you know what? Signs and wonders are not for the believer. They're for unbelievers, people that don't know God. Now, guess what? When you know, somebody could be a Muslim, a Buddhist, an unbeliever, anything. It could be Jehovah's Witness, anything. And guess what? You don't go up there talking about, I'm a Christian, everything. Guess what? Oh, it's almost like they you lost them. So what you do, you go in and say, do you have any pain? And then when you tell them, do you have any pain, and they get healed, is there any argument that the power of God is real for today when they've been healed by Jesus? As you lay your hands on them, or you speak to that pain and that pain goes, is there any argument that God is real, that he still does miracles today when they see that manifested in their body? And when they do that, see, it's for unbelievers. And then when you start talking about Jesus, do you know the Jesus that I know? Then it's no argument. They'll freely see Jesus and they'll freely choose Jesus. So it's a witnessing to it. And signs and wonders for the unbeliever. So now when I get off this podium, guess what? I'm going to have challenges. But guess what? You know how I overcome those challenges? Not by the anointing that's on me now while I'm preaching, but you know how I overcome the challenges? By faith. The Bible says the just shall live by faith. I have to get in the Word, and I have to believe God's Word just like everybody else. And so all of us have to judge for our personal walk in God. But you guess what? And walk around this 24/7 because the Spirit of God lives on the inside of me. And so we were having church service, and right before we got ready to leave and go, because you know it's a learning phase, it's a preparation phase, and then it's the execution phase. So the execution phase was supposed to happen after we did a quick word. We were supposed to go out, remember, to like we go out there to the marketplace and to the store or something, and go tell them about the love of Jesus, and we love on them. And I'm gonna tell you, I don't care how they look. Guess what? But guess what? If you go up to people in a 3-piece suit and go to what's that mall up there where they got all the it's on the south side, Avenues Mall. Yeah, you go to Avenues Mall. They got so much security up there. They don't want nobody to mess with their money. So guess what? You can't hardly even witness to nobody because they security and all. They got real police off duty. Cops, well, they got the rental cops and all thing. I said, so they ain't gonna let nobody mess with their money, okay? And I can understand. But guess what? They don't. The people that got all that money and stuff, they don't think they need Jesus. But you go somewhere like where we went, man, they'll be glad to have you pray for them. They'd be glad that you're paying attention to them. So, and they're open to receive the things of Jesus. Jesus didn't have any problem with the common folks. With sinners, but he had, you know where this problem came from and opposition came from? the religious folks that thought they had it all going on in a bag of chips and they didn't need Jesus. So guess what? The people that you think will turn your way, they're the most receptive to the word of God and to the love of God. But anyway, so before we even left the service, Josh said that he had scoliosis. Scoliosis is curvature of a spine. Now, you don't have to be a medical doctor to do this. All you have to do is they tell you something wrong and then you just make a command and speak to that, and the power of God is released from out of your body into their body. Remember the woman with the issue of blood? She said, if I can just touch the hem of a garment, I shall be made whole. And when she touched the hem of Jesus' garment, although there was crowds around him, he said, somebody touched me. And the disciples say, what do you mean somebody touched you? He said, don't you see all the crowd around here? What do you mean somebody touched you? Nobody can get past without touching. He said, no, she made a demand on the power resident in me. And his virtue came out of me. So guess what? So anyway, Josh said that he had, and I didn't even notice. I didn't even notice it, but guess what? He was standing like this, and I never even noticed it. I thought that he was just trying to be cool, you know. But then he told me that one leg was shorter than the other. Now, Maurice Jr. here, my son, was here. Carrie was here. Dricus Horn was here. Minister Dricus Horn was here. And we were here, and we all saw. We got a chair. We put the legs together on a chair, and we looked at it, and we saw that one leg was shorter than the other. Guess what? I just prayed in the name of Jesus that other leg come in alignment with the kingdom of God and grow. And we saw it right there before our eyes. The leg grew out, and they were even. A lot of times we have an uneven leg or something because of some kind of injury or something. Then it causes one leg gets a curvature and everything, and then it causes a pain in the back. But when those legs are even out, again, tightness and tension and everything causes that back pain, it goes. So we did that, and then we prayed for his knees. And so anyway, I told him, he said, well, I thought I'd have to live like this because my dad had it. And I said, no, when you get to your dad, pray for your dad. And anyway, it was not a dry eye in this place when we saw what Jesus did, amen? He showed up in the church service. Now, I was more shocked than the members were. I was more, because I thought we'd have to be outside in the marketplace for it to happen, amen? But he showed up right here, amen? Praise God. So we can't put any limitations on God. But once we know that the power of God is resident on the inside of us and that God wants to use us, you know what? If we go out and do what Jesus said and go in the marketplace and lay hands on someone and heal them, guess what? Y'all don't have to listen to me preach for 30 minutes or an hour. Guess what? We're going to come in, and the people that got healed, they're going to come here, and they're going to get testified about the goodness of Jesus. And guess what? We don't need to have a priest sermon. We'll be glorifying God. We'll be glorifying God. And guess what? Baby Christians are silly enough to believe what you told them. Well, you the preacher. You told me that Jesus loved me, so he must love me. So he must. I'm going to go tell my other friends out there that don't know about Jesus that he loved me. And guess what? Pretty soon, this house will be overflowing. We'll need a building. We'll need a building something immediately. So that's how the church has grown. You know, sheep that got sheep. Sheep that got the sheep. Me and Pastor Cecil, unless God do a miracle, we can't begat any more sheep, okay? But guess what? Y'all sheep, y'all go in the marketplace, see people we don't see. Y'all full of the Holy Ghost and power, then go ahead and love on them and love them into the kingdom. You got the power. Somebody in your sphere of influence needs to be healed, needs to know about the love and compassion of God. When you demonstrate that, but Apostle Paul said, I didn't come in enticing words of men's wisdom. Guess what? If I go to a Seventh-day Adventist, if I go to a Mormon, if I go to a Buddhist or a Jehovah's Witness, and guess what? It's going to be a fight. And when we leave, unless the power of God shows up, we're going to all go away mad and thinking we're right. So Apostle Paul said, I didn't come in a demonstration of man's, I didn't come in enticing words of men's wisdom, but I came in a demonstration of power. Remember the apostles? They said, these are unlearned and ignorant men. They ain't been to Bible school, but yet, they taught us those having authority. So the most important weapon that we have is to be able to. Let's get back here because I got carried away. Let's go back here. Now, Romans, it says, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, who are called according to his purpose. And we love that. Go to the next verse. And this is what we're really talking about. For whom he did foreknow, he did also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that we might be the firstborn of many brethren. And read the next verse. Moreover, whom he did predestined, them he also called, and whom he called, he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. The next verse. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Okay, hold right there. Hold right there. Let me get my King Jimmy up. I don't know what Bible y'all use, but I like to reach out the Bible that Jesus teaches. King James. I'm making a joke. No, King James wasn't alive when Jesus was around. But some preachers really believe that King James Version is the only Bible that you should be preaching out of, or you might not be saved. Let's see here. Oh, yeah. Now, here it is. It's right here. It's verse 26. Verse 26, the same chapter, verse 26. Romans 8 and 26. See, a lot of people think about this. It says, likewise, the Spirit also pray for our infirmities or our weakness, for we know not what we should pray for, as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. So that's talking about praying in our prayer language. And the Holy Spirit knows what we really need to pray for, right? Now, when I pray for my daughter in Boston, I might think that maybe because it snowed and everything, they may need some, what's that stuff that you put on the road that melts the ice and stuff? Yeah, they may need some salt. Well, guess what? The Holy Spirit knows they got 5 bags of salt in the house. They don't need no salt. But that's what I think they need. But if I pray in my prayer language, and I pray, I yield my members, my vocal cords to the Holy Spirit, and I pray, the Holy Spirit will pray the perfect will for my daughter. My daughter might have needed a new tire, a new snow tire, but I thought she needed salt. So I'm going to go send her some salt. No, that's not what she needs. So do you see how valuable that is, the tool, valuable a weapon it is? And so the enemy does not want us to pray in our prayer language. But it's nothing spooky. It's nothing strange. It's every believer has to, and that's how we tap into the power of God. So, and the reason the enemy fights against it so much is that he does not want us to walk in it. He wants us to just be Christians, just be dependent on what we can taste, feel, touch, and see. He doesn't want us operating in the supernatural. But it's a powerful weapon. Like I said, when I was in the Army, I was a crypto tech. And if I couldn't encrypt that command messages and everything before they went sent over the airways, the enemy could have intercepted that and knew what we were going to do and defeated it. So because it was encrypted, we didn't care if it was over the airways or who intercepted it. They couldn't get the intelligence out of it. Because on the other end, they had to have the key. They had a de-encryption machine, and then they would make some sense out of it. But guess what? The Bible says when we pray in our prayer language, we pray mysteries unto God. So that's what we're doing. And it's available for every believer. Now, a lot of times there's been a lot of confusion because a lot of people say, well, we're not supposed to be praying in tongues lest there be an interpreter. Let's talk about it in the church setting. When you pray in your prayer language, and then you pray for the interpretation, that's equal to prophecy. When prophecy comes, people are supposed to be edified, built up, and encouraged. If somebody say, thus saith the Lord, you're going to die tomorrow, and your children are going to die too. That's not edification. That's not building up somebody. That's not from the Lord. Amen? That's not from the Lord. Okay, that's like somebody ate a pizza and they got heartburn, and they prophesied, I offer that heartburn, okay? They had a bad dream, you know? So you understand how powerful that this language is and the prayer language, and it's a weapon that every believer is supposed to have. Amen? It's available for every believer. And really, let's go to Corinthians. And this will be the last scripture that we go over. Corinthians. First Corinthians. The 14th chapter. And it says, and this is talking about my prayer, our private prayer language that every believer is supposed to have. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. So when you pray in your prayer language, you don't know what you're saying. But guess what? Here's the conclusion of the whole thing. Verse 15. Oh, D. 1 Corinthians 14 chapter. 15 chapter. He says, what is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. So in other words, we'll pray with the Spirit, but how do we pray with the understanding? I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. So let's go to the next verse. Now, how do we? So basically, this is what it is. We pray with the understanding, and it said, okay, let's see here. Okay, so it says this right here. This is a conclusion. I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray also with the understanding. So what it is, you ask God to give you the interpretation. When you got the interpretation, then that's where you get understanding. Amen? If Josh were to come in here and speak German, now, guess what? I know a little bit of German, enough to order a meal, but if he was fluent in German, I wouldn't know what he's saying. How would that edify me? Unless I spoke German. Well, when you pray in your prayer language, and then you get quiet before the Lord and ask God to give you an interpretation. And whatever picture comes to your mind, whatever thought comes to your mind, that's the interpretation. You speak it out. And then you're speaking out what you pray. But that's how you do it. And that opens the door to the supernatural. Amen? So that's all I have tonight. And I want to open it up for questions also. Question, anybody have any questions about it? Because one thing about it, if it's not simple, it's not God. If it's too, if you need the Pope, five theologians, and a baby to help you understand it, it ain't God. Everything God tells you is He gives you simple instructions. He said, "I'm waiting to make the way of salvation so simple that even a fool won't err in the way of." Now, there's no, none of us are fools, but guess what? When the Word of God comes forth, it comes through with simplicity and understanding. And we're in a church setting right now where if you have questions, the door's open. Because I want everybody to understand what I'm saying and understand what the benefits are. So does anyone have any questions? Anyone have questions about, number one, baptism in the Holy Spirit in our prayer language is a gift for everybody. It's available for everybody. It opens us up to the supernatural. And then how do we do it? How do we do it? We open our mouth and God gives us a language. And we'll get more fluent at it as the more we do it. But it opens up to the supernatural. And that's how we're going to do with that power from on high. You remember the apostles? They laid hands on the sick and everything. And they weren't even baptized in the Holy Spirit because Jesus wasn't glorified. He wasn't glorified yet. But guess what? You have a greater power level when you yield yourself to the Lord and then pray in tongues. And then you'll get the interpretation. If you know, it gives you divine guidance. Sometimes we don't know which way to go, to the left or to the right. That's where that comes. But does anybody have any questions about anything we talked about today? And we're going to be continuing on this. Now let me say in this, I believe God, and I'm being radical right now. I'm getting out of my comfort zone, and I realize that it's not me doing anything at all. If any good thing is in me or anything good thing comes, it's because of Jesus. Amen. So I'm just I'm just being obedient to the Father. Jesus said, you go to lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. The recovering part is not my problem. It's my obedience. But God can use me. He can use every one of us.